Thank Jacob for his prayer. In writing to the church at Rome, Paul in chapter 1 addresses sins that are related to the Gentiles when he talks about being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whispers, backbiters, and so on. Again, these were addressed towards the Gentiles. And we look at these sins, we understand the seriousness of them, because any sin separates an individual from God. And these sins that may be listed here, as Paul continues writing in other epistles, may not be listed in those other epistles. Some of these sins, when you look at them, may pertain to an individual and God only. Some sins listed may involve others. It may be between two or more, or many than that. But again, they're sin. When you look at Ephesians chapter 5, Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, in verse 3 says, "But fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather given of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and God. And let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things," that is, those things that God mentioned, or that Paul mentioned there, these sins, because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. But he talks about the consequences of that in verse 5, that those individuals who commit such things does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of God, because these things separate us, if you will, from God. In Galatians chapter 5, and verse 21, Paul there says, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and such like. In other words, any sin that closely resembles those that he mentions here as well as other places. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, there Paul again lists numerous sins towards those at Corinth. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. And he goes again through these lists of thieves and homosexuals. And sometimes we as individuals put labels on sins that this sin is far worse than this sin or whatever. But any sin will keep us from inheriting the kingdom of God. We don't need to put a label that this is worse, that this sin may affect more than just me. It may affect a number of people, therefore it's far worse than this. God does not view sin as man views sin. We need to keep, if you will, that in mind. Revelation chapter 21. Again, this idea, when you look at labeling sin, this great list is listed in verse 8, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, and idolaters. And then it says all liars. Again, we sometimes don't put a lot of emphasis upon maybe what we call a little lie or a little white lie. But we need to understand, lying is no worse than stealing. Stealing is no worse than drunkenness. Drunkenness is no worse than murder, or covetousness, or cursing, or fornication, or homosexuality. Lying will send you to hell as quick as being a homosexual. And so we do not need to label a sin as worse than the other one, because they are not, if you will, in God's eyes. Again, some sins have a far-reaching effect than others. Again, I may make a promise what I'm going to do for God and fail to keep that promise. That's between me and God. It affects no one else but me. Mark and I may have an agreement that I do not carry out my part. That's between me and him. It involves two. But it may involve more than that. Paul says in Ephesians 4 and verse 26, "Be ye angry and sin not." So we have the anger here that we may have, but in that anger, sin is not involved. But when you look at Titus 1 verse 7, a bishop is not to be soon angry or quick-tempered. Why? Because that will have an effect upon someone else. And so Paul, right at Titus there, says that the bishop is to have this characteristic. They are not to be angry or quick-tempered to meet the qualifications of that. And I say this, when you look at sins, one of the sins not mentioned in these verses, unless it's used in some other form, is the sin of bitterness. And to me, if you want to label something a sin, and I'm not saying it is, but if you want to look at that, because by the mere definition of what this word means, bitterness, the danger of one being having bitterness within them, that it's a dangerous other to one's soul. When you look at the Old Testament meaning of this word, the word there carries, if you will, excuse me, various meanings. At times it means bitterly, bitter, angry, or discontented. Other times it means calamity, to grieve, sorrow, provoke, or grieve. But in the New Testament, where it is used four times, it only carries one meaning. In Acts 8, verse 23, when Peter told Simon the Sorcerer, "For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness." Some versions may use, "I see that you are poisoned by bitterness." That's a hard definition of what bitterness is. It poisons one's soul. That's the danger of bitterness. In Romans 3 and verse 14, Paul there says, "Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." In Ephesians 4 and verse 31, "Let all bitterness be put away from you." Why? It will poison you and cause you to react in such a way that your soul may not recover from that sin. If it is allowed to stay there, it will eventually poison your soul. Hebrews 12 and verse 15, "Lest any root of bitterness," and here he described that there are first times before bitterness comes, there has to be a root. And for a root, it comes, breaks forth, there must be a seed planted. And we understand that. So lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble. Vine states the word means a condition of extreme wickedness, a bitter hatred that produces a bitter fruit. When this root, this bitterness, all that it's going to produce is bitterness from us. It will produce no good whatsoever. And so the danger of letting such things grow till it will, can no longer be gotten, taken away from us is very dangerous. If we allow it to stay there, it's something that we need to stop as soon as possible. But sometimes, as we get to the close of this lesson, why it's impossible to do that. Okay? Strong states that the word means having a sharp, pungent taste, smell, poison. Again, this word that Strong likewise defines that bitterness is poison to one's soul. It causes hurt, resentment, anger, and even anger that can build up in our hearts, ill feelings, coldness of one's heart. We've always heard the expression, "You've got a cold heart." What's an individual meaning? There's no feeling there. That's what bitterness will produce. It'll poison your soul and mind that you cannot seek forgiveness. You will not seek forgiveness because of that. So it's dangerous if you want to look at sins labeled there. But he'll send you to hell just the same as lying. But trouble is something, if not taken care of, you'll not recover from. Because you allow that poison to fester till it simply destroys your soul. It can rob you of peace and joy. It opens the door to Satan. Can lead to the loss of friends, family, spouse, brothers and sisters in Christ. It can lead to loss of old. It makes peace impossible. As long as bitterness is within us and our heart or soul, we'll not be at peace with God. We'll not be at peace with our fellow brothers and sisters and many others. Bitterness, and anger are not the same thing. When Paul says, be you angry and sin not. Or when an elder is encouraged that he's not to be quick-tempered and soon angry, it's not the same as bitterness. Anger is something that can pass quickly. Mark may become angry briefly, and then it's gone. Bitterness does not pass quickly. Most of the time, it dwells within a person for life. And that's the danger of it. Anger is not always bad. Be angry and sin not. Bitterness is always bad. It's never used in the good sense. We can control our anger. Bitterness controls us. It tells us what to do and how we react to others. Anger is about present hurt. Bitterness is always about the past, what was done to me that brought this on. So it's always about the past. Anger is loud. Bitterness is quiet. Most of the time people just keep it within them. The root of bitterness, its cause, again we briefly mentioned. How does bitterness take root in one's heart? Again, before there can be a root, there must be a seed. And from that seed, a root grows. We see that in planting trees or whatever we may plant. The first, before a root forms in the ground, a seed is put there. Root means that which exists beneath the surface. It's something underneath a person. It's not visible to us. Like the root to a tree is not. We know it's there because we see the effects from that root. But it's something that's invisible. It's beneath the surface of that individual. This bitterness that one has, invisible to the eye, but yet there. And the seed may be planted in various ways when someone perceives they have been done wrong. So a seed is planted. Or you were wrong to hurt in a way. Sometimes one who hurts someone does it unintentionally. They may be insensitive and say something insensitive to an individual. So a seed is planted. And the person takes that the wrong way, and so the root begins to form. Or someone just may say something just deliberate to hurt someone. But anyway, the seed is planted, and bitterness begins to form within an individual. As in all sins, bitterness bears fruit. It's not good fruit, but it bears fruit. As any sin will bear fruit. So consequences, any way you want to look at it, sins will bear consequences. As sure as death comes upon us, there's no escaping that. Bitterness will bear fruit. And it's bad fruit. The result of bitterness, it causes the person who holds it to do harm. That's the fruit of bitterness. It robs one of peace of mind and joy in life. It saturates the mind. It's all that one thinks about. It just simply consumes that individual. You can never get over it or rid it from your mind. S.I. McMillan, an M.D. who wrote a book, None of These Diseases, stated, the moment I start hating a person, I become that person's slave. I thought it was a good quote. When I start hating a person, I become that person's slave. Why? He controls my mind. I become a slave to that individual. I can't enjoy life. He or she controls my life. Always as one's mind. Bitterness will defile not only you, it will harm others around you, such as your children, as we mentioned, friends, or whoever. First John 5 and verse 2. John there says, by this we know we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. One should not let bitterness affect their relationship with God and others. But sadly, it does. I know of homes that have been broken up over bitterness. And you all probably do too. Churches are destroyed from bitterness. Friendships are broken forever because of bitterness. But this is the time we need God most. But bitterness continues in one's life, and that's the reason we need to get rid of bitterness in our life as soon as possible. If someone says something that upsets us, we do not need to let that destroy our life. If we let that continue, we have no relationship with God or others. How to overcome bitterness. There may be other examples in the Bible that you can look at. Several are found in Paul's writing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. When he says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. That's one way. Don't render evil because of bitterness. Rejoice always. In other words, do not let others take away your joy in Christ. Pray without ceasing. The great conqueror of bitterness is prayer. Praying to our Father for help to overcome this terrible sin within us. Abstain from every form of evil. But as we mentioned, bitterness is hard to overcome because it poisons the soul if not checked quickly. 1 John 1 verse 8, John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Admitting, this is why bitterness is so hard to rid ourselves of. Admitting that one has bitterness is hard in them to admit, because it was not you that brought this on, but what someone else done to you. And so when you look at that, you're not looking at yourself as the one who needs to take care of this matter, this sin, but you're looking at that person who said that to you and their fault. So you're not looking, if you will, at yourself. Because it was not you who brought this on, but was done by some other person who hurt you. And so that's who you're looking at. And you're failing to see that this is poisoning your soul, this bitterness, over what was said. So one feels justified in feeling this way because they were the person that was wronged by someone else. And that's the danger of bitterness. Because you're not looking at yourself. It's you're because of bitterness, not justifying the other person. I'm not saying that. But you cannot let it affect your soul by bitterness and cause your soul to be lost. Paul again said in Ephesians 4 verse 31, let all bitterness be put away from you. Verse 32, be ye kind to one another, forgiving. James 3 and verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. Some things to think of. Don't let bitterness because of something said destroy our soul and take away that promise that God has made to us of that home in heaven because of that. Yes, the other person is at fault. I am too. If I start harboring this seed that was planted towards me, let that root begin to grow and never quit that root. Or do away or chop it down, whatever you want to do. It will cause my soul as any other sin to be lost. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, God has granted you this day. He has blessed you this day. He's allowed you the good health to be able to assemble here this day with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. And the invitation is going to be extended as Peter extended the invitation to those on Pentecost when he convinced them that they had crucified the Lord, the King of Heaven. They asked the question, man and brother, what shall we do to be saved? All men have sinned. If you're not a Christian, you're a sinner. And you have sinned. You've done something that has caused you to be separated from God. God offers a simple solution. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You have that opportunity now as we stand in our allegiance in the invitation song.